Welcome, everybody. First of all, thanks to you for working through your lunch hour right now and coming here and attending this session. But I have an apology. Well, first is that you're going to be hungry again, I think, and that will be to try out Azure Data Lake Store after this session. So apologies in advance. So that being said, the title of today's session is Building Your Fully Managed Petabyte Scale Secure Data Store Using Azure Data Lake Store. I am Sachin Sheth. I am a Principal Program Manager on the Azure Data Lake team. So what do I hope to achieve from this session, and what I hope you will take away from this session, is understand the value proposition of Azure Data Lake Store. After that, I'm going to talk about the building blocks that you need to be aware of when you're using the Azure Data Lake Store. Thereafter, I want to show you some common customer patterns that we have seen and how they have implemented those common customer patterns. I'm going to deep dive upon the security aspects of Azure Data Lake Store and how you can use them to satisfy your requirements. And that's the overview of the sessions. Just a show of hands, how many of you attended the Machine Learning and Data Science Summit? Okay, so for you, there will be some overlap of content, but I have some more content too, so hopefully it will be useful for you. For the rest, this is going to be an overview session with deep dives at various points, so we will go through things quickly. The material will be available for you to view later if you want to look at certain aspects of it. My goal is to give you sufficient overview through this session and give you enough food for thought and material to make your decisions. So let's get started. Azure Data Lake Store, first I wanted to give, as I said, was overview and value proposition. Azure Data Lake Store is part of the Cortana Intelligence Suite. So for those who are not aware, the Cortana Intelligence Suite is a suite of services that helps you achieve, take your data, gather intelligence from it, and help you take action on it. There are a variety of services that are part of the Cortana Intelligence Suite, starting with information gathering services, stores, analytical services, and then how do you get the intelligence out of those services, out of the information from the other services. Azure Data Lake Store is part of a portfolio of services called Azure Data Lake. In Azure Data Lake, there are three main services. We have the Data Lake Store, which holds all the information, which is the hyperscale repository for big data. We have Azure Data Lake Analytics, which is the analytics service that runs on top of Azure Data Lake Store, and HD Insight, which is our offering, which is a managed cluster offering, which contains various workloads that come from the Hadoop world, such as Hadoop, you have Spark, Storm, and so on. So this session will focus primarily on Azure Data Lake Store. And there are the other services that have said that in this conference, there are other sessions focused on Azure Data Lake Analytics and HD Insight. And I'll encourage you to attend those also if you haven't, or look at the recordings. So let's go deeper into Azure Data Lake Store. What does it mean? If you have to take close your mind and think about what are the few things that you have to take away from this session is, Azure Data Lake Store is a hyperscale repository for big data analytic workloads. So again, a lot of words, a lot of deep meanings over there. But hopefully through this session, you will understand what it means. The value propositions, what are the top value propositions? So this is a store that has no limits on scale. So many of you have heard of stores everywhere, cloud stores especially, they all have some fixed limits. This is a store that does not have fixed limits. This is a store that can store any data. It was built primarily for analytics workloads, and as we know, the analytics workloads is dominated by Hadoop in today's world. So we have built it from the ground up, assuming that Hadoop analytic workloads will be using it. So it has a native HDFS interface to it. Since we talked about analytic workloads, obviously the store has to cater to the patterns that analytic workloads impose, and we have worked to optimize those patterns. And finally, all the customers here, like you are here, are enterprise customers, and you really need an enterprise product. And in various aspects such as reliability, performance, security, these are fundamental qualities of products that our customers like you expect. And Azure Data Lake Store provides those. So let's look at the first part that we said, no limits on scale. Azure Data Lake Store has no fixed limits on file size, account size. You can have number of files, there is no limits on that. You also have no limits on how long you retain the data over there. And finally, we, as mentioned here, there is no limit on ingestion or egress of data into the store. And how did we achieve this? The way we achieved it is that we are in the cloud. We have control on a large amount of machines, and we know that when you're storing data, we scale it automatically for you when we store it. And we store it in such a way so that when you're reading it for your analytics workloads, you get the best performance and best scale for your files, for your data, and so on. So we have a lot of experience within Microsoft running our big data systems. We have exabytes of data that we manage within our big data systems, and we have taken that experience and we want to share it with customers through Azure Data Lake Store. We talked about a value prop HDFS for the cloud. What does that mean? We have built a web HDFS interface on Azure Data Lake Store. We touched upon HD Insight, and for those who are familiar with the Hadoop world, when you refer to a file or a folder, the prefix that you put is HDFS:\WAC\WAC or SWEB HDFS. Those will be supported by Azure Data Lake Store. So for somebody who is already has their Hive scripts built and wants to just run them against Azure Data Lake Store, you just have to change the prefix to ADL:\WAC\WAC and you get to Azure Data Lake Store. And you don't have to do anything more. So from a usability perspective of those who already have the analytic workloads working, it's no big deal to use Azure Data Lake Store. So it's simple to transfer existing scripts, but at the same time, you'll get all the benefits that are provided out of the Azure Data Lake Store. In addition, if any other, you have an existing application or a custom application that talks web HDFS, you can leverage the store very easily. Enterprise grade, we talked about it quickly. All the conversations I hear is we want our applications to be integrated with Azure Active Directory if you're in the cloud, or even with our enterprise AD. And Azure Data Lake Store is built from the grounds up to use Azure Active Directory, which can also be federated with your on-prem AD. And what does this give us? This gives us that you can use your we can do ACLing based on AD entities on files and folders. So really, this is again another value proposition that we have, where you can put ACLs on files and folders, which is not available in any cloud system store today, but it is available in Azure Data Lake Store. You can store your sensitive data because we will have compliance guarantees. You want that all access be auditable, so we generate audit logs also for all read, write, access on the store. And finally, there was a session before this, which is also around data encryption. So today we will be enabling data. We have data encryption enabled for Azure Data Lake Store. It's in private preview, and you can use it. If you want to use it, just let us know, and we will ensure that you can try it out. And finally, also data in flight is also encrypted. So Azure Data Lake Store and Web HDFS, we use the secure option. So you will be using, it will always be going, the traffic will be going over HTTPS. So in short, you are guaranteed enterprise-grade security when you are using even this cloud store. And that's, I think, a very important value proposition for our customers. So I kind of went through the value propositions around, we talked about was no limits on scale. You heard about enterprise-grade security. You heard about HDFS client. In addition, we also provide enterprise-grade reliability. So this is a cloud store, and when you're storing it in the cloud, your data will be replicated by default so that there is no loss of data happening if something goes down in the cloud. So there is enterprise-grade reliability also. So with all that, if you still want to go for your lunch, and that's fine with me, what takeaways would you have? Why should you use this store? There are many stores out there. Why should you use Azure Data Lake Store? It is the only cloud that is optimized for big data analytic workloads. And this is kind of born out of the fact that when the data is stored, we are ensuring that it's stored in a way that your analytic workloads, which will need big data analytic workloads, which will need scale, can easily perform well against the store. It is the only cloud store that is available that is fully integrated with Azure Active Directory and also thereby Enterprise Active Directory. As I mentioned, is files and folders. You can put ACLs on files and folders at any level, and these are based off your AAD identities. It is the only cloud store available that has a native Web HDFS interface. And last, but certainly not the least, in fact, this is the most, it is the only cloud store that has no fixed limits on file sizes, on amount of data you store in it, and even number of files. So this is our value prop, and we have this service right now available. It's available in public preview. We'll be going GA later this year. But this is the value prop that we have promised, we have seen many customers use it and like it. But I think I don't know if anybody knows, but there's a poet called, English poet called John Donne, and he said is, no person is an island. And I think the store is also not an island. So you need building blocks around this store in order to help you get value, especially in the big data analytics world. So in this section, what I'm going to talk to you about is what are the building blocks, such as ingestion, processing of the data, taking the data out of the store, visualizing it, or doing interactive analytics, and finally orchestrating this big data workflow. So I'm going to touch upon these building blocks, which will be centered around, obviously, the Data Lake Store, but really help you in achieving your end-to-end business value. Quick overview here. This is talking about the Data Lake Store being at the center of the Cortana Intelligence Suite world, where you're getting data, kind of gathering intelligence, and getting actions out of it. The first step or building block that is involved in your big data workflow is usually acquisition of the data or ingestion of the data. Ingestion data can be broadly of two types. You can have batch data that you bring in, bulk data, or you can have streaming data, which is event data. So once you have the data in the store, what do you do with it? You will usually analyze it, you'll usually process it, and that's the next step. Once you have done that, either you will put it for discovery, or you will have visualized it through some analytics tool or a dashboard. So these are broadly the steps that are involved, or the stages, and these are the building, and the tools that go into these stages form the building blocks around Azure Data Lake Store. So ingestion. What this shows is Azure Data Lake Store can be connected to, you can have data coming from various sources and it can be brought into the Azure Data Lake Store. So you can have, for customers especially here, a lot of their data resides on-prem and you want to bring it to the cloud so you can do processing in a scalable fashion. And for that you can use Azure Data Factory, which is a tool that is available as a first-class citizen. You can bring data from on-prem sources to the cloud. You can also bring it from other services within Azure to Azure Data Lake Store. If you are somebody who is more in tune with Hadoop world, you can use tools like DiskCP or Scoop to bring that data from your sources into Azure Data Lake Store. If you have real-time data, you can use Azure Stream Analytics to bring it from Event Hubs into Azure Data Lake Store. So, and there are many other tools that are also available. What this slide is showing you is you can ingest data from any source into Azure Data Lake Store. So while somebody may say, oh, it's a new store, it's not. It should fit into your existing workflows and should be able to get data from your existing sources. And there are various ways to look at how do you choose the tools to use for your ingestion. In this case, I'm using one para. My dimension here is how do I get started? And I've kind of just put one way of looking at the tool. So if you're usually getting started with analytics, you would say, oh, I have some sample data, I have it on my machine, I want to try an analytics tool in the cloud. So if you are using Azure Data Lake Store as your store, what tools would you use? So the tools that we have talked about here is you can use the portal. So you can go to Azure portal, use that tool to just upload data. You can use PowerShell if you are Windows machines. If you have Linux or Mac, you can use command line interface to get that data into the cloud. And probably you will be done with your initial, and then you'll go and run your analytics on top of that. And once you're done with that, you'll say, oh, let me try some more data. I have this hundreds of gigabytes of data in the blob store in Azure. Or I have data on-prem that I want to bring in and try out. And for that, you can use more advanced tools like Azure Data Factory. You can also use customized tools. So if you say, I want to build my own custom tool in order to get data in, you can use SDKs that are available and use custom uploaders if that's what you want to do. But this kind of gives you a feel that whatever be your dimension, you can get an ingestion tool of your choice. At this point, I would like to kind of highlight Azure Data Factory, because we talked about a lot of things earlier on, is this Azure Data Lake Store, it being scalable, it having no limits. And when you're working with such a store, you really need tools that are also scalable. You need tools that are managed. You need tools that are easy to work with, in the cloud world especially. And Azure Data Factory is such a tool. It allows you to compose, monitor, and orchestrate at scale. And the at-scale part will be the recurring theme through today's presentation, because that's what the Azure Data Lake Store works best with. Especially since we're all in a world where data is increasing exponentially and you cannot operate with one machine or one VM, you need scale. You need to scale out. And that's the scenario where Azure Data Lake Store really works well. So Azure Data Factory is such a tool which works at scale with the store. In addition, the diagram that you see is a complicated workflow where there is data, there is dependencies, there is input, output, so you can really orchestrate your entire workflow pretty well into the using Azure Data Factory. It's also one of the most cost-effective tools. So if you are a user of Azure, you don't have to buy any different licenses. You get Azure Data Factory, and it is proven to be one of the most cost-effective tools for working with Azure Data Lake Store. And it is globally deployed. So we have customers all around the world, and we understand, and we really want to cater to those scenarios, so it is a globally deployed infrastructure. So you can get your data from any source in any location, any of the Azure regions, and bring it into Azure Data Lake Store. This gives you a glimpse of Azure Data Factory and all the sources it connects to. So there are a variety of sources, and if you would broadly categorize it, you can have Azure's data stores in sources in Azure. They can be on-prem. They can be in VMs running in IaaS clusters. You can have file systems. Data can be everywhere, and Azure Data Factory helps you connect those stores to Azure Data Lake Store. And it's a two-way thing. So you can use Azure Data Lake Store as a source or as a sink. And ADF, in short, provides a great tool to get that data in and out of your sources in a scalable fashion. So we talked about ingestion, getting data into the store. So I wanted to address egress also at this point because it's kind of a corollary. You get data in and you get data out. And pretty much the tools that we use for ingestion also work well for egress. In this case, you can have data going out of the Azure Data Lake Store into various databases like SQL, Azure SQL DW, or it can be on-prem databases also. So for the ingestion block, what would be your key takeaways? The key takeaways are there are a lot of tools and many options available. You can use Azure Foundation tools such as PowerShell or CLI. You can use rich tools such as Azure Data Factory. You can use Hadoop tools such as DiscCP, Scoop, and so on. And you can even create your own tools. So we are not limiting in any way how you get your data into Azure Data Lake Store, which is really the most important thing in order for you to even do anything with the store. But it depends, and the choices are available. You need to pick the tool based on what your constraints and what your parameters are. So I think I've talked enough. Let's actually see this in action. And what I'm going to do here is actually have a demonstration of I have data stored in Azure Blobs. I have about 2 terabytes of data in Azure Blobs. I'm going to use Azure Data Factory to copy it from Blobs into Data Lake Store. And any guesses on what time it should take to load 2 terabytes from Blob to Data Lake Store? I hope so, yes, but I think we would like to aspire for that, but let's see what it takes, really, and go from there. So in order to get data into a store, first we need a store. And when we said the topic of this session was a fully managed store, I want to show is how simple it is to create a store account. And I'll go through the Azure portal because that's the simplest way to demonstrate it. So, sorry about that. So here I'm going to go and say new. Just again for everybody's information. So I've logged into with my credentials at Microsoft.com and gone into the Azure portal. In this case, I'll go to Intelligence and Analytics, because it's part of the Cortana Intelligence Suite. You see there is Data Lake Store preview. As I mentioned, it's in public preview right now. That's why the preview tag comes over there. I want to create a store. So I said Sachin's, which is Sachin S, Ignite Demo. I have a subscription. I will use an existing resource group just so that it's easier for us all here. The location of this store is going to be in the East US 2 Azure region, and the pricing is pay as you go. And I'm going to pin it to the dashboard. And as simple as that. So all the advantages I talked about so far, the manage, petabyte scale, secure store, can be got by just probably, I said, 3 or 4 clicks here. And right now the store is being deployed. My account is being created. The store, ADL store account is being created. I use the portal here to create this account. You can use other tools also to do the same thing. So relating to the customer's experience, they want ARM templates, they want PowerShell, they want to be able to do using SDK. You can create this store account similarly using all those tools, because this is really a demonstration and this is not how real life works. So you can go ahead and create the account just as I did, using all those tools, and you can even automate it. So some customers want to ensure that it can be automated. Though there is no need to create an account all the time, you can do it in a reproducible way if you have to. So here we have it. Within 30 seconds, I was able to create this account. As simple as that. When I create this account, again, going back to the promises of this, the title of this session, we were able to just create it with no hassle. It's secure by default. So in this case, I, as the owner, am the only one who can access this store. The others cannot access this store until I give them permissions. And I will talk about it more in our POSIX ACLs or access control using POSIX ACLs. But right now it is secure because only I can access the store. Nobody else can do it. So just to show you what's happening here, the portal provides a great experience. There is no data in this. So again, no magic here. It's a clean slate we are starting from. I want to ingest data from Blob into this store. How do I do it? I will go and create a data factory. So I had created a data factory already. So those who are familiar with data factory, this is how a pipeline would look here. In this case, you can see that there is a store input data set. So this is the data is going to come from Azure data, Azure storage. We're going to use an activity that is going to copy into data lake store as an output. Now I have to make a few changes because we just created this store. So we need to ensure that this the right information is populated for this pipeline. And again, it's quite simple to do that. I'm just going to go into my pre-configured definitions of the pipeline. So you can do this very simply also. There is a copy wizard that's available for Azure Data Factory where you can just do it through a click-through experience. I'm using the more complicated JSON experience so that you can see actually what are the elements there. In this case, I have to refresh these credentials. This step involves authorizing the ADF pipeline with the right credentials so that it can talk to my store. So nobody else, as we said, it's secure. So only my credentials, since I am the owner of that account, can talk to that store right now. Okay, so I refreshed the credentials here so that it could talk against the store. Here you see the URI that is used to talk to the Data Lake Store. So when I created the account, it is called Sachinus Ignite Demo with azuredatalakestore.net as the suffix and webhtfs/v1. So as you can see, it's a HTTPS URL that can be referred from anywhere. So it's easy to operate against this store. Oh, I think I authorized it. Let me just cancel this. I have to deploy it at this point. So it says that this link service definition was deployed. Let's now go to the pipeline and kick it off again so that we can actually see how much data, how the data gets copied over. So I have to rerun my pipeline, which I've run in the past. Here it's saying pending execution. We are going to wait for, so what happens now, ADF, again, this is a managed service. All you're doing is issuing commands to ADF to go ahead and initiate the copy operations. When you're doing the copy operation, you're copying from Blob to Data Lake Store. What's going on right now is Azure Data Factory kicking off VMs, which are going to run the agents, which are going to take data from one place and write it to the other. So you will need an intermediary who's doing the copying, the orchestra, the retries if needed, and so on. And that's what's happening right now, and that's why you don't see it in operation. So I do want to get this started. While we are waiting to start, I wanted to show you some previous, I wanted to show you some previous runs of this pipeline. So here, okay, so as you can see, it's moved from pending execution to running. So here we go. So this is showing now it's started and it's churning. It's starting to copy from the source to the destination. And let's see how much, how quickly it starts writing. Once we start writing, so let's look at some previous runs. So I just did a run yesterday and I copied the same data. So I had a data, as you can see, it shows here in the highlighted part. I copied 2.34 terabytes of data at a throughput speed of 1.71 gigabytes per second. And that's pretty terrific, because if you think, in 24 minutes, I've copied 2.34, so that approximates to about 10 terabytes, or 10, or 1 terabyte being loaded in 10 minutes. So while, yes, gentlemen here would like it in 1 minute, it took about 10 minutes to copy a terabyte of data. If you extrapolate it, you can see that you can copy about 4 terabytes or 6 terabytes an hour. You can copy about 100 terabytes a day. You can copy about 3 petabytes a month. And you can copy over 30 petabytes, or 3 petabytes a month, and you can copy about 30 petabytes a year. So this is the scale we are talking about. We can, if you ingest at this speed, so while the gentleman here again wanted 1 minute to load this, you're taking data from an external source and putting it in the store, and even with this speed, you can put in data at about 30 petabytes a day. And that's why we call it a petabyte store. You can get in petabytes of data using tools that are available here. With a few clicks, you can start those pipelines and get in petabytes of data. So let's look at this. Here it is churning around. So this is going ahead and copying the data. And here we have two options. We can wait for the 20 minutes and watch this. And again, a trivia for this conversation is I found out was there's a song called Echoes by Pink Floyd. And do you know how long it runs? Any guesses? There you go. Yeah, it's 23 minutes and 31 seconds. So I was planning on playing that song while we watch this churn around, but I don't think we are in a mood for that. You want to rather listen to the other fun thing. So I will, instead of watching every byte copy over and listening to some great music, let's listen to look at the other interesting things. So coming back to petabyte scale, we talked about we have tools that can get data in at speeds that can get you petabytes of data in a month, petabytes of data, tens of petabytes of data in a year. Can the store handle it? That's the main question. So in order to just see if we can really handle it, I'm going to show you a store that we have already populated data with. So this is a store. Again, the portal provides a great experience to navigate. Here we have a store which shows 5.02 petabytes. So have you ever seen a single account hold 5 petabytes of data in the cloud? No. And you can see that it's available here today for you. You can go and use Azure Data Lake Store, and there are 5 petabytes of data stored in this account. And for you, you can go ahead and even put in more data into a single account. Question? So data lake, as I mentioned, the question is it the speed of transfer, is what is the bottleneck here? So really it is the data lake store itself does not put any limits on it. It's really how do you get data in? So you could have either bandwidth, so if you're taking from blob to Azure Data Lake Store, The blob account provides limits, has limits on it in many cases. So theoretically, I can only transfer data at a certain rate. So while I would want it to transfer in a minute, I cannot do it because the blob store account puts limits on it. There is always, Azure Data Factory has enough capacity that you can transfer it really fast. So I showed you at showed you pass runs, which are over a gigabyte per second. You can get more than that also if you want to. But there is, you'll also have to pay for the capacity that you buy there. So really, the store is not providing any limits to you. It's not imposing any limits. Tools exist to bring in data. It's, you can achieve it. So, if you don't mind, can you hold the questions for the later? So I can address to everybody too. So here, we have a store which has 5 petabytes in it. Let's have a quick look into what it really contains. So again, the portal experience provides an easy way for you to just look at the data in the store. I'm going to navigate into a particular folder here. Let's look at the 1TB, which looks interesting to me. Here you see data of all kinds stored there. There are 1 terabyte files, there are files with 13 bytes in it, files with kilobytes in it. So the store is supporting all sorts of data sizes and not imposing any restrictions. Let's look at this file, this, again, which looks interesting. And so here we have it. This file is 1 petabyte. So where have you seen a petabyte size file ever? So not just there is a store account which is storing multiple petabytes of data, here's one file which is a petabyte size file. And not just that, I could view this file, get a preview of this file in microseconds. So it's all being powered by the store. This store is really a petabyte scale store. You have seen no limits on files, no limits on file sizes. I stopped at petabyte. I could have gone further, but petabyte is big enough. You can get data in at enormous scale, and we think that that's provides and suits most of the requirements of your big data workflows. So hopefully this is insightful enough. This is actual demo again. This is, you can try it out too at home without any question marks there. So there is no, this is not driven by professionals. Anybody can do it. And so it does meet our promise that we talked about is it's a petabyte scale store, it's managed. So you don't have to sit and tune the store in order to meet this kind of data requirements. The store itself is taking care of these things for you. So let's go back and see. So here you saw about, in this case, you're seeing about 600 terabytes being copied in approximately 9 minutes. So it's 8 or 9 minutes. So this is close to the promise I talked about. It's about a terabyte of data every 10 minutes. So again, this is real live demo. Hopefully this shows you the enormous potential of Azure Data Lake Store and the surrounding tools. So back to presentations. The Data Lake Store has, I think I've preached now enough how great it is, and I've shown you too, but it cannot, its real value is when you actually run analytics on it, when you actually get value out of that data, because without analytics, the data is probably worthless. So what are the analytic workloads that are supported by Azure Data Lake Store? As the title says, the subtitle says, a highly scalable distributed parallel system is what Azure Data Lake Store is, but it's also designed to work with various analytic workloads. The one that we have other sessions on, and which is tightly coupled with Azure Data Lake Store, is the Azure Data Lake Analytics. This is, again, a fully managed, at a scalable, elastic cloud analytics service. It's a job service, so you don't have to pay until you submit the job. So it is fully, tightly coupled with Azure Data Lake Store. And so if you have, we saw the petabyte size file there, if you wanted to really do the best job on it, you can just have a script in Azure Data Lake Analytics, and you submit it, and it will take care of figuring out how to scale out that script and run it on various parts of the petabyte file and get your results back to you. So if you haven't still listened to that session, I would urge you to go and listen to that session. And also, all these sessions will be available later, so I'll urge you to try this out. So Azure Data Lake Analytics, the first and probably the most scalable work analytics engine that can work with Data Lake Store. But we know that not all people have, many of customers like you, use Hadoop on-prem, and you want to carry over those scripts and all that work that you have done to the cloud. So you can use HD Insight in that case. So if you are using Azure HD Insight, you can use any of these workloads and run it against the data stored in the Data Lake Store. You have a batch script, like MapReduce, Pig. You also have CS Hive, low workloads that can work against it. HBase works against it. So if you want a NoSQL database, you can use HBase and back it with Azure Data Lake Store. You can use Spark against Data Store. So if you are, Spark is probably the hottest thing in the Hadoop world. So if you want to use Spark, you can use that too. And finally, R. So while this audience is catering to the IT pro, your customers who are the business analysts want to use R against this data. You can do that too, because HD Insight has the R server, which can operate against the data store in the Data Lake Store. So this brings us, so we have covered so far ingestion, egress. We saw we have just now heard about analytics. So what do you do next with your data in your data lifecycle? You will be using this analyzed data and running analytics on top, or visualizing it through dashboards. So how would you do that with the Azure Data Lake Store? In this case, we have Power BI dashboards, Power BI desktop. We also have Excel that will soon be enabling. You can use this to operate directly against the store and get your either your dashboard, your favorite chart there, or you can do interactive analysis using Power BI desktop. For those who want to use your existing tools from third parties or even Power BI, you can use it, move that data, copy that data to SQL Data Warehouse, and then run interactive analysis on top of that. So using the relational capabilities of SQL Data Warehouse. For those who want to use Jupyter or Zeppelin or other notebooks that are popular now for business analysts, you can use that, and data scientists, you can use that using a HD Insight cluster to front-end those requests. I talk to many customers, and mostly all the bigger customers say, we don't like the stuff that you talked about out of the box. We have very specific needs and requirements. How do we cater to that? So Azure Data Lake Store is built, when we talked about the web HDFS interface, it's a REST interface. So for the bravest of brave, those who really want to do it themselves, they can use REST interface and call against our REST interfaces. For those who would like a bit more hand-holding, we have SDKs available. So we have .NET SDK, we have Node.js SDK, Java SDKs, and Python SDKs will be coming soon. If you want a bit more scriptable environment to manage the store, you can, or even operate against the store, you can use either PowerShell, or you can use Crossplat CLI that is available. And obviously, PowerShell and .NET SDKs are .NET SDKs available only on Windows OS. But what this shows you is that all the things that we talked about in the data, big data flow, including ingestion, processing, visualizing, if you have your own custom tools or third-party tools that you want to use against the store, and if the ones that I mentioned don't meet your requirements, obviously first talk to us. We want to fix that. But if it doesn't work for you, use the APIs. Use the customizability provided for the store by us through these means. In all these, this whole workflow needs to be orchestrated. So while we talked about the store itself being managed, your entire workflow needs to be managed against the store. And how would you do that? You build pipelines, and pipelines can be built very easily by using Azure Data Factory. We talked about Azure Data Factory earlier on in the context of just ingestion, but it can orchestrate this ingestion. It can schedule. You can schedule it for runs. You can say what is the timeout on a certain activity. You can say how many time you retry it, what are the dependencies, and so on and so forth. So Azure Data Factory allows you to orchestrate your big data workflow and also against Azure Data Lake store. If you have event, we haven't talked much about data, getting data from event sources, especially IoT world. We have a lot of streaming data coming in. How do you do that? You can use Azure Streaming Analytics to sort of manage because it runs all the time. So you can use Azure Stream Analytics to get data from event hubs into Data Lake Store. You can also use tools like Storm. So for those who are, again, from the Hadoop world, Apache Storm, you can run against Kafka or any other message broker and get data into Data Lake Store. You can also use PowerShell. So PowerShell is, again, it is the scripting front end to the store, but you can also create workflows out of it. And finally, again, if you want to build your own custom tools, we have capability to do that. So for the last 20-odd minutes, what I've talked, if you want to go back and just take away what are the key building blocks, these are the ones that we talked about. This is, again, out of box. So these are the key things that will just work, will just work. There are other tools also that are available, like offline transfer of data. So while we stressed on the fact that we can bring in data at gigabyte per second, not all scenarios can be satisfied that at. You won't even have connectivity in some cases. How do you get that data into Data Lake Store? In that case, you can use our Azure Import-Export service where you ship disks from your source to Azure data centers and get data into Azure Data Lake Store. So there are a lot of other options also available that can help you achieve your scenarios. But broadly, if you just need a quick blueprint of the tools available that help you work really well with Azure Data Lake Store, this should provide you a quick cheat sheet. So going back to our overall agenda, you heard about, we kind of have gone through the journey of knowing about the Azure Data Lake Store, its value propositions. We saw what are the building blocks around it. Now, we'll say, okay, what is actually practical? And for that, I have some examples here on. And these are actual implementations that customers have implemented. So we have been in public preview for almost a year now, and we have seen a lot of customers use Azure Data Lake Store and all these building blocks successfully to achieve their goals there. So that's what I'm going to spend the next few minutes, or next 10, 15 minutes on, is how do we implement common customer patterns? So this is probably the most common pattern that we see, is the customers have data on-prem, they want to move that data into the cloud, they want to process, analyze that data, and they want to move it to the cloud because the data is so much, and the analysis requires so much CPU power that they don't want that capacity to be on-premise. So they want to leverage cloud on-demand compute power and use that to analyze and then move data where it can be then analyzed further through either dashboards or interactively. So this is a common pattern. And how have they achieved it? So we see that you can take the data from existing systems, use Azure Data Factory, move it to Data Lake Store. You can analyze it using Azure Data Lake Analytics, which we talked about again, which is tightly coupled with Azure Data Lake Store. Once you have analyzed that data, you then can move it to either SQL DW and Azure SQL Data Warehouse, where you can use also, because it's a relational database, again, cloud scale, I'm talking about SQL Data Warehouse because it is, again, a scalable database, highly scalable database. So if you have terabytes, hundreds of terabytes of data that you want to interactively analyze, then SQL Data Warehouse is a great service to do that. And so this is an actual customer pattern. We call it the hybrid pattern because you have data on-prem and you are analyzing it and visualizing and interactively analyzing it in the cloud. The next common pattern we see is real-time data analysis. Your data is coming from event sources that are generating data, like sensor data, every second. And this data is coming into the cloud. And then you want to do batch analysis on it. And then even after that, do interactive analysis on it. In this case, this is an example of a customer, or customers really, who would really like to leverage the community, the open source community, and all the work that they have done. So if you see the difference from the previous pattern, here all the technologies that I use are open source technologies. You have data coming in through Kafka. You have Storm, that is HDI Storm running on HD Insight, that is taking the data, putting it in the data lake store. You have Hive scripts that are running on top to do the batch analysis. And then you have customers doing interactive analysis using notebooks against our server running on HD Insight. So this is the, and as you probably know, Strata is the other conference that's running in parallel in New York, and this is where that's probably one of the most common patterns there. So if you see the third pattern, Lambda architecture. Again, this we see a lot in the IoT world, and this is probably going to be more common in other scenarios also. You have data that is real-time data that is coming in. You want to fork off the data. You want to do some instant action on that data. And you want to do some action, some batched analysis of that data too. How would you do that? And what we have seen customers do it is again, using the tools that are available in Cortana Intelligence Suite and what we talked about, how do they achieve that? You see data is being streamed in through event hubs. We are using Azure Stream Analytics to archive that data, you may say, to Data Lake Store. Azure Stream Analytics also allows you to do set up alerts. So if you see, for example, let's take an example is where a sensor is talking about, it's sending data about a temperature of a device. You want that if it is not within a threshold, it should fire off an alert. So in this case, Stream Analytics can actually see if that data, that one event, which has the temperature, the instantaneous temperature of a device, is it falling within a threshold? And if so, if it is not falling within a threshold, fire off an alert. It can do that. In addition, it wants to archive that information with enrichment so that it can go and create a pattern out of it. So it can see this model, and all these devices, all their temperatures, what has been the pattern? Does the temperature deviate? Does the instantaneous temperature deviate a lot? Is it a problem with the sensor on the device that it's giving false readings? That can be done in a batched fashion. And that's what is being done in the lower part of this pattern where you see it is the Data Lake Analytics is doing that portion where it crunches a huge amount of data, probably on a daily or a weekly basis, and trying to find patterns about temperature in this case and the sensor and see if there is any additional correlation they can find. And interactively, this by pushing data to SQL DW, they can do interactive analysis. So I walked through three common customer patterns, and these are customer patterns that are actually in practice. So you can be sure that this will work for you. There are a lot many other patterns also we have seen. Many of customers here have special requirements, like you're from financial services. You don't want your on-prem data to be just sent to the cloud. You want that it should be only be taken from your on-prem data centers into a cloud data center that is completely VPN'd, and then move to the cloud, and so on. So we have seen a lot of other patterns also, and they all work because all the tools exist today to get your data from wherever you have your data to Azure Data Lake Store and then analyze it. So if you have a special need or a special requirement that you don't see covered, reach out to us and we'll be happy to help. So far in the presentations, we have covered three main things so far is data value prop, your the common building blocks and patterns. I wanted, and Also, what we really through that also saw was the scale part of it. So you have seen that the petabyte store, which has a lot of scale on it, you can really scale it by storing petabytes of data and analyze it. But one of the key requirements for customers here again is security. And you want your data to be secure, because without that, you don't want to rely on the store. And over the next few slides, I'm going to really double down on the security features and walk you through how they are implemented in a way, and so that you have assurance in Azure Data Lake Store. Security features. Most common terms that are used here are the AAA. You want authentication, authorization, auditing, and you also want your data protection. These are the four main themes here. The identity management and authentication, that's done through Azure Active Directory, as I've mentioned earlier. It's tightly coupled. If you are building an Azure Data Lake Store, the only way you can authenticate with it is if you have an AAD identity. In the example we just saw, I had my Microsoft account, and that's the only way I could do get access to that account. Authorization. The way we do it is, in Azure, you have account management done through RBAC. It's a common framework. And now if you want access to the data, we do it using ACLs, access control lists. For auditing, you need logs. And so every activity you do on the store, such as read and write, you want that it should be audited. And that's a given for our on-prem stores. And I think most of the customers here have those kinds of requirements. Those are easily translatable and implemented in the cloud. Data encryption is a big thing, especially for a cloud store. You want your data to be encrypted in transit and while it's being stored. You can store data when you're sending the data, as I mentioned, you will use HTTPS channel to send the data. And when it's at rest, you can use either your own keys or you can provide your own keys or use service managed keys. So the first part, authentication. So you can use Azure Active Directory tenants, or you can use your Enterprise Active Directory also. In the first case, what we see is a user who has an Active Directory account, Azure Active Directory account, being able to use the store. In the second case, this user has the account stored in the Enterprise Active Directory, which is federated with Azure Active Directory. ACLs on files and folders. So for those who are familiar with HDFS, because we built the store grounds up as a HDFS store and to cater to workloads such as SD Insight, we followed the HDFS POSIX ACL model. And what by that we do is we allow you to set ACLs on each file and folders. You can set ACLs on each file and folder. Now, this is the only store in the cloud that provides you that. And that is the key takeaway, that we, again, saw petabyte size files, no limits on files, and you can store set ACLs on each of these entities. And so basically, you are providing ACLs on file and folder at scale, which is, again, a recurring theme here. By default, in the store I created also, only I could access it. But if you want others to access it, you can provide either an exclusive an access ACL, or you can include the other entity into the default ACLs. So these are, again, concepts that you understand as you read more and implement more. But broadly speaking, you can create a security group where you include everybody you want, who wants access to all the files and folders, or you can set at individual level exclusive access for that entity. And so this just diagrammatically shows how the ACLs work and what are the components within the ACLs. So again, another concern of customers is where they want protection, not just using who is accessing it, but where is it being accessed from. And we have IP address-based ACLs, so you can provide exclusively which IP addresses should be able to access this Azure Data Lake Store. In this example, you have Azure Data Lake Store at the center. A range of IP addresses has been provided, which will be allowed access to the store. In the first case here, we see an IP address, 64 dot, which has been allowed access. And in this case, because it passes the check, it is allowed to go through. But for somebody who's accessing from some other IP address, they will not be allowed, they will be denied access. So again, this is a cloud store providing this feature. Audit logs. How many, I bet most of you here are concerned about how your resources are being accessed and you want to guard against any malicious activity. So we do provide audit logs. You get it in JSON format, and then you can use scripts that run in Azure Data Lake Analytics to extract patterns out of those logs. In this example, we have Azure Data Lake Store. Blob Store is where the audit logs go, and Data Lake Analytics, which is attached to this Data Lake Store. In the first example, we have Alice, who's trying to access Data Lake Store and read a file out of it. If audit logs is enabled, which is not turned on by default, you have to turn it on. If it is enabled, then an audit log will be created, which shows that Alice performed a read operation. In the other case, Bob is running a job, a USQL job in Azure Data Lake Analytics, which indirectly is causing a read operation from the store, and that also triggers an audit log, which says that Bob performed a read transaction on the store. So we touched on the three A's, encryption of data at rest. So this is a feature that is in private preview right now. It's probably a concern for everybody, is I want my data to be encrypted. For some customers, they are happy with just data being encrypted and the service and the key and the keys being managed by the service. For some of the other customers we have seen, they said, no, we want to encrypt it using our keys. So you can have keys stored in Key Vault, your own keys stored in Key Vault, and then Azure Data Lake Store will encrypt using those keys. So here I have a quick demo again to show you access control. So it is definitely not as cool as the data upload or showing you a petabyte size file, but it will help you be assured that all the petabyte size data you have is actually being stored securely. So let's go back. In fact, I wanted to go back to the transfer I did and see what happened here. As you can see, it's 9:29, which is today. We have 2.34 terabytes of data that was transferred in 25 minutes. So you saw that this is in action. I actually loaded a terabyte of data, copied a terabyte of data from Blob to Data Lake Store in about 10 minutes. The whole set of data was copied in 20 minutes. So I've been doing it repeatedly fashion, and it is really up to you now to find out what your limits are. There is no limit to what you can do actually with the store here. So this is the demo that has completed, which we started about half an hour ago. So to get to the secure store, securing access using ACLs, what I'm going to demonstrate here is I have an account that was created by me using my Microsoft credentials. I want to provide access to another user, which is a Hotmail user here. So if you look at the top right, this is a Hotmail user. I want to provide access, but only to certain files. How would I go about doing it? So going to this store, I'll go into Data Explorer. Here, what I would go and first see is the access. So if you see here, there is a button called access. If I look at the access, you will see there is the owner. So the owner is not the Hotmail account user, it's the other user, the Microsoft.com user. I have provided explicit access to custom access to the Hotmail user. And that's the reason why this user can even see this account at this point. But let's go deeper. We saw the root folder. Let's go at the next folder level, which says first level accessible to all. Okay, well, I can access it. So this Hotmail user can actually be able to access and see that there are two folders in there, which is a second level accessible to all and accessible to owner only. Here again, if you look at the ACLs on this folder, it shows that the Hotmail user has been granted access. So great, that's why it's been able to get this access. Whereas the default ACL only permitted access to the owner. Okay, let's see. Okay, so this is probably the last level that this Hotmail user is allowed. Same thing, Hotmail user was provided read and write access through the ACL. Let's navigate up a bit again. Let's say accessible to owner only, what happens? Oh, a big red exclamation mark, which is great. It says the resource does not exist or the current user is not authorized. And why is it so? If you look at this access control list, the Hotmail user is not provided access. So on this, the Hotmail user was provided access, he or she would not have gone and been able to view this folder. So simple, again, concepts are very, the value to you is the simplicity in how we have implemented it. And you can easily do it and control access using the ACLs. But it's at the same time, it's very powerful. So you don't have to go and do additional steps. It's very simply done for you as administrators of the account, but it's powerful in the sense that nobody else can actually get access to the data that you have stored in the cloud. So we heard about all these great things about Data Lake Store, how to work with it. It has scale, it has security. What's the catch, right? What's the catch here? Like, you're saying you're going to have to pay a lot. You're going to introduce complicated cost terms here. And short answer is no, it's not. And I'll explain you in the next few slides quickly. So this is a common customer pattern. Again, what we said is data from on-prem, you're taking it to the cloud, you're analyzing it, you're visualizing it. What happens? So here you see about 100 gigabytes of data being loaded every week from on-prem, and then you analyzing it and probably doubling it because you're enriching it or writing multiple files. So you see 200 gigabytes coming out. You're going to retain the data for a year in most cases or so. In this example, it's a year. And then you move it every week to SQL data warehouse so that you can analyze it interactively, your business analyst can interactively analyze it. So what would the cost be and what should you think about? So if you just break down by the stages, when you're ingesting data, how does the store, what are the costs associated with the store? It's the number of write transactions. When you're storing data, is the average data stored per month? Processing, when you're using the data lake analytics to analyze it, or what other, that there will be read and write transaction, and that's what you'll be charged for. When you're egressing data to SQL data warehouse, it's a read transaction, it's the read transactions. So if you take that in mind and look at our public preview pricing, how does it all cost out? And this diagram kind of shows all of that. Instead of walking through each of them, we can just look at the final, which is a final number, which was total ADL store costs per month is about $417. And most of it is around the storage costs. And then you have, if you break down by ingestion and others, there are costs for the transactions. But the key takeaway for you, for the store is, these are costs that the way we cost Azure Data Lake Store is similar to all the objects, other stores that you use. But we are providing all these great benefits in addition. So this should not be a concern for you. It should be easy for you to figure out what your costs are when you're using this store, because you're already factoring it when you're using other workflows with other stores. So what are the session takeaways? And I hope I've been able to touch on the objectives and help you get to these takeaways. Hopefully you have understood the value proposition of the Data Lake Store. It's scalable. It has no limits to scale. It has a HDFS interface. It is meant for analytic workloads. It is fully integrated with Azure Active Directory, provides you a enterprise-grade security as well as reliability. You've learned about all the building blocks around it, which are around ingestion, processing, egress, and also visualizing data. He understood some of the common patterns that have been implemented by customer, and hopefully it is applicable to your scenarios also. You understood how costs work also, how security, how you can meet the security requirements when you're using the Azure Data Lake Store. And finally, you are convinced that ADL Store should be the store of choice when you are considering big data analytics. So if I have been able to convince you of the objectives and these other takeaways, why don't you get started, right? What's stopping you? Go ahead to this, link, and you can get started. We have documentation. You can go and, if you have an Azure subscription, you can start using it too and get started and see how if what we have learned from the session can actually be practiced. Again, the public service announcement, please vote and give your feedback. We want to hear from you if this session was valuable for you, and hopefully it was a good use of your time. So thank you very much, and I'll take any questions. Sure, go ahead. What's the question? Can you repeat it, please? The break data? Okay, I didn't know that. So the question is, did I use a big data pipeline when copying data from blob to data lake store? I really created a pipeline by myself. You can use a copy data tool. This one was created by hand using very simple semantics there. So again, what I used there was cloud units. So there is a concept of cloud units in Azure Data Factory, which allows you to scale, and I used a lot of those. So that's how I got the throughput that you saw here. Yes, so Azure Data Factory allows you to parallelize pipelines. You can run multiple pipelines in parallel, which can look at different folders and move data across. It's already existed. You can have one big fat pipeline too if you want to copy in that one pipeline. There are various combinations available. So right now, ADL Store Azure Data Lake Store is not geo-redundant. We are working on that. If you have specific requirement, we'll be happy to hear about it. So externally, we don't mention how many copies we keep, but we keep enough to provide you a durability that we will be announcing at the service. So there will be a durability number that we provide, and that the replicas are created in accordance to the durability that we promise. But yes, we do replicate data, but that's the only way you achieve durability. So the question is the parallelization by default? So Azure Data Factory is, again, a very rich tool. So you can have parallelization within you can say if you have one big file, you can parallelize it by providing, you say, break it up into chunks. That's one level of parallelization. If you have multiple files that need to be copied, then you can get more scale units, so cloud units, as I mentioned. So you can have multiple cloud units do the copy in parallel. So they are not just multiple threads, but actually files being copied in parallel. And then you can have multiple pipelines in parallel. So you can have, in fact, completely different pipelines independently running to do the copy. So the scalability can be done in various ways. It can be either scale up, it can be scale out, it can be scaling of pipelines. Again, very rich, lots of choices. Reach out to us if you have any specific questions there. Great, any more questions? Thank you all for attending, and really looking forward to you using Azure Data Lake Store. Thank you. The question is, when can we expect Polybase on Azure Data Lake Store? So we are working on it pretty close. If again, reach out to us if you want to try it out, because we understand it's a very important requirement. So yes, Polybase on Azure Data Lake Store with SQL Data Warehouse, you're assuming, right? Yeah, we are working on that, and it should be available soon. Thank you.